I was touched by the song we just sang, which is a song about the Messiah singing to his bride and the bride singing back. I was thinking how wonderful, which is my own worldly thoughts, I suppose, how wonderful it would be if this whole room was filled and people were singing. That's my desire, Yahweh, to see your people come. To see you heal our infirmities. Well, my sermon today is the 18th in a series, a series of who knows how many. It seems like each verse has in it a sermon, and this is no different. It's about the seven assemblies that Yahshua is speaking to through John. And the declarations presented to each of the seven assemblies of the book of Revelation of Yahshua the Messiah in chapters 2 and 3 includes a greeting, a description of the majesty of Yahshua, a statement of his praise for us, a statement of criticism, warning, an exhortation, and a promised blessing. And so we have been examining each of these expositions for all of the seven assemblies. And we have three remaining, warnings, exhortations, and promises. We are exploring Yahshua's warnings at this time to the seven assemblies and to us. Here's the verse we will be looking at today, Revelation 3, verse 3, which reads, "Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you." Let's read these verses, let's read that verse in context, beginning at Revelation 3 and verse 1. "And to the angel," or to the messenger, "of the assembly in Sardis, write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of Yahweh and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you are dead." Let's see. You have a name that you are alive. What could Yahshua mean by that? Well, the city's name is pronounced Sardes. What does Sar mean, as in Sar Shalom, Prince of Peace? It means prince, as found in a Russian czar, a Roman Caesar, or a German Kaiser. In the United States, we even have a drug czar who directs our drug control policies. The second syllable in the word Sardis is pronounced in Greek, deis, D-E-I-S, written in English, which is the root of our English word deity. As in Greek, the word theos, or in the Spanish phrase, vaya con Dios, the second part of Sardis is Dios, essentially. So putting the two words together, Sardis means Prince of the Almighty. What better term could we apply to the Son of Yahweh than alive? Going back to verse 1, we read, "And to the messenger of the assembly in Sardis write, these things says he who has the seven spirits of Yahweh and the seven stars. I know your works, that you have a name, that you are alive, but you're dead." Dead. Okay, listen to this next verse, verse 2. "Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found your works perfect before Yahweh." Well, who could be perfect? Okay, so he'd probably look at us and say that our works are not perfect either. That's kind of why all these assemblies are representative of the assemblies today. Or at least there is a message to us in the assemblies. The Greek word for perfect is pleroo, or plero. The same word Scripture uses for the last word in Matthew 5:17, which I'll read for you. Do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. That's the same word as perfect. Pleroo. Okay? A better translation of this verse, based upon how pleroo is used in Revelation 3:2, might well be, I did not come to destroy, but to perfect the law and the prophets. Concordantly, in other words, using a concordance, fulfill means to make replete. Literally, to cram a net. Picture a fish net crammed with fish. To level up a hollow, to fill something up to the top. Or figuratively, to furnish, imbue, influence, satisfy, execute an office, finish a task, and to verify or accomplish a prophecy. Think about it. Yahshua came to verify the law and the prophets. So what is Yahshua saying to the assembly at Sardis? He is saying, I have not found your work satisfactory, fulfilling, finished, or verifiable before Yahweh. Now, as written in Daniel 5:27 regarding Belshazzar, son of King Nebuchadnezzar, upon seeing the hand of Yahweh writing, Mane Takil Paris, it means the same thing. You have been weighed in the balances and have been found wanting. That's what Yahshua is saying to the assembly at Sardis. Consider the condition of our nation's houses of worship. Yes, even our own assembly, as we certainly cannot claim to be perfect. Because of our adherence to Scripture and not the doctrine of mankind, I pray that we are seen by Yahweh as closer to being His servants than those who claim His law to be dead. We must keep Yahweh's Sabbaths and high Sabbaths, and we must call upon His name. Can it be said that the worship demonstrated in the world today is perfect before Yahweh? I don't think so. In fact, it is likely, based upon Scripture, that most worship that we see in the world today will be viewed by Yahweh as blasphemy. As He Himself says in Proverbs 28:9, he who turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination. When I first saw that verse, it just knocked me over. To know that hearing the law, I mean, hearing doesn't mean just listening to it, listening to someone read it. It means hearing it. It means putting it in your heart, having it placed there by Yahweh. Someone who denies the law or does not hear the law, his prayer is an abomination. May it not be so. Isaiah 1 and verse 15. This is Yahweh speaking through Isaiah. When you spread, he's speaking to the people through Isaiah. When you spread out your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Of course, that means when you pray, I won't look. Even though you make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood. And I would ask, whose blood? The blood of Yahshua. For all have sinned necessitating his sacrifice for us. Verse 16, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean, put away the evil of your doings from before my eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do good. Seek justice. Rebuke the oppressor. Defend the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, says Yahweh. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land, but if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of Yahweh has spoken. All right. In the words of an old popular song, but that's not what I came to talk to you about. What I came to talk to you about is the warning issued by Yahshua in Revelation 3, verse 3. Again, let me repeat it. Remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. There are three parts to this verse that we need to focus on. One, remember, therefore, how you have received and heard. Number two, hold fast and repent. Number three, therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. So, remember, therefore, how you received and heard. The word therefore in the Greek is the word un, which means certainly. When we say therefore, the word really means certainly. So a more accurate translation might be, remember certainly, or remember with certainty, how you have received and heard. Hold fast and repent. If you will not watch, I will certainly come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. Additionally, in the phrase, remember with certainty how you received and heard, another word is implied in the word how. It is the word much. Okay? So Yahshua may be saying to us, remember with certainty how much you have received and heard. But in spite of the speculation, what does Yahshua mean by saying, remember with certainty how you have received and heard? The literal answer, of course, would be that we received by word of mouth. Since only few people had copies of the written word of Yahweh. But in a spiritual sense, though, we might easily believe that we heard by the Spirit of Yahweh. So how did we receive and how did we hear? By the word we received, and by the Spirit we heard. Is it not remarkable that these fit perfectly with the Feast of Weeks? For on that day, on the day that became the Feast of Weeks, was the day Moses went up on Mount Sinai to receive the word, the law of Yahweh, written in the hand of Yahweh. And on the Feast of Weeks, called Pentecost in the New Testament, the disciples of Yahshua received the Holy Spirit, by which they performed miracles granted by Yahweh Almighty. I find it incredible. By the word we received, and by the Spirit we heard. Else, why would Yahshua say, he who has an ear to hear? Matthew 13 and verse 10. Matthew 13, beginning at verse 10, reads, and the disciples came and said to him, why do you speak to them in parables? And most of the world would give the answer so that they could understand. But that's not what he says. Verse 11. He answered and said to them, because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given. For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. But whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him. Therefore, I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, which means repent, essentially, so that I should heal them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly, I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it. Certainly, hearing the word of Yahweh is a gift from above. Praise Yahweh, I say, for that which he has blessed us. The second issue we want to examine is the phrase hold fast and repent. The phrase hold fast is one Greek word, tereo, which means to watch. Hold fast means watch. It also means to guard from loss or injury, and properly means to keep an eye upon it. So hold fast means to watch and guard. Repent is a Greek word, metanoeo, which means to think differently afterwards. That is, to reconsider. So when the Greek word, which is translated repent, is used, it means to think differently afterwards. Reconsider. And morally, it means to feel compunction. And any of you who have been touched by the Holy Spirit understand what I'm talking about. Because the Spirit itself, when given by Yahweh, is life-changing. He says so in Jeremiah 31:31 and following, that he will put his law in our minds and in our hearts so that we might follow. If you would turn to the book of Joel, Ya'el, chapter 2, and verse 12. Joel 2, verse 12 begins, now therefore, says Yahweh, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. So rend your heart, and not your garments. Return to Yahweh, your Elohim, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Who knows if he will turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him, a grain offering and a drink offering for Yahweh, your Elohim. Blow the trumpet in Zion. Consecrate a fast. Call a sacred assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the congregation. Assemble the elders. Gather the children and nursing babies. Let the bridegroom go out from his chamber, and the bride from her dressing room. Let the priests who minister to Yahweh weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare your people, O Yahweh, and do not give your heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Why should they say among the peoples, where is their Elohim? When other nations, we might call heathen, view the loose debauchery, corruption, decadence, and depravity present within so-called civilized nations such as ours, Do they not recoil in amazement and judge us to be a nation without a mighty one? Have they not characterized us as having had a president who was Satan? Even people in our own nation have pointed to him as connected to the dark side. Whether this is all reality or not, it still fulfills the words of Isaiah, in that nations are saying these things. And, I mean, who can doubt that they see this? And who can doubt? Who would not testify to the sinfulness and lawlessness of our nation and this world? I didn't think so. We must watch and guard the truth given to us in the Word of Yahweh and by His Spirit. We must pray that Yahweh would reach out to those who are seeking truth, and we must continue to present the truth to the world by being ambassadors of Yahshua, the Messiah. Now, the last section of Yahshua's warning in Revelation 3:3 reads, Therefore, if you will not watch, I will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. If you will not watch and not guard my truth, which is the word of Yahweh granted to you by His Spirit, I certainly will come upon you as a thief, and you will not know what hour I will come upon you. 1 Thessalonians 4 and verse 15. It extends into chapter 5. For this we say to you by the word of the Master, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Master will by no means precede those who are asleep, that is, those who are dead. For the Master himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of Yahweh. And the dead in Messiah will rise first. Then, you get the picture? When he comes, the dead will arise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Master in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Master. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. Now, these verses have been used by Christianity to concoct the false doctrine of the rapture, a perversion of the truth of Yahweh. Asleep does not refer to people who are lackadaisical in their attending church. It refers to those who are dead and in their graves. The trumpet of Yahweh refers to the day of trumpets, when Yahshua will return. The rationale for this is the fact that Yahshua fulfills Yahweh's plan of salvation on the times appointed for these events. The appointed times are the feasts of Yahweh. Yahshua fulfilled Passover, he fulfilled unleavened bread, and Pentecost. And he will fulfill trumpets, atonement, the Feast of Tabernacles, and the last great day. Matthew 36 and 44 says that the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. There is only one of Yahweh's appointed times that fits this criteria, and that is the day of trumpets. Trumpets occurs on the first day of the month of the scriptural calendar, a day upon which believers are to watch the western skies at the setting of the sun in order to determine whether or not it is a new month, the seventh month of the year. The twist is, however, that no one can say for sure when the new moon will be seen. It occurs either on the 29th or the 30th day of the lunar month. And every seventh month of the year is determined by the determination of the first day of the first month of Abib, which no one knows beforehand. This means that not even the year of his coming is known. Listen to the writings of Paul to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 1. But concerning the times and the seasons, okay, now by using the words times and seasons, I believe Paul is referring to the end times and to the feast days of Yahweh. Seasons in the Old Testament is moed, which means the appointed times of Yahweh. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Well, listen to that. You have no need that I should write to you. Why? Why not? Because they know about the end times, and they know about the feasts of Yahweh. Verse 2. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of Yahweh so comes as a thief in the night. And as Matthew 24 and 36 says, but of that day and hour no one knows. Verse 3. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But, and this is still in Matthew, I'm sorry, this is still in Thessalonians. But, now listen to this. You, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. When I first heard that, again, it knocked me over. You, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. Wow. If not for everyone, then who is Scripture talking about when it projects that the day of Yahweh will come upon you as a thief in the night? Who is he talking about when he refers to the thief in the night? We must understand that this is written only for those who do not keep the feast days of Yahweh, who have no understanding about watching the sky for the new moon. This is incredible. What more evidence do you need to have that honoring the feast days of Yahweh is indeed salvational? Come, I say, come to the light. Come to Yahweh through Yahshua, his Messiah. All right. Verse 5 of Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch. Watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For Yahweh did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Master, Yahshua the Messiah, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you are also doing. There are some other scriptural verses that I think are interesting. I want to read them to you. In the book of Job, in chapter 24, beginning at verse 13, Job 24:13 says, there are those who rebel against the light. They do not know its ways nor abide in its paths. The murderer rises with the light. He kills the poor and needy, and in the night he is like a thief. The eye of the adulterer waits for the twilight. Okay? The twilight is not sunrise. The twilight is sundown. Saying, no eye will see me. And he disfigures, he disguises his face. In the dark, they break into houses which they march for themselves in the daytime. They do not know the light, for the morning is the same to them as the shadow of death. If someone recognizes them, they are in the terrors of the shadow of death. And someone will recognize them, for no one hides from Yahweh. In the book of Hosea, in chapter 7 and verse 1. Hosea 7 and 1 reads, "When I would have healed Israel, but then the iniquity of Ephraim was uncovered, and the wickedness of Samaria. For they have committed fraud. A thief comes in. A band of robbers takes spoil outside. They do not consider in their hearts that I remember all their wickedness. Now their own deeds have surrounded them. They are before my face." When he talks here about a thief coming in, is it not thievery to steal words from the Scripture and to use them out of context, to use them against the word of Yahweh? So when you hear someone say that the law concerning the Sabbath means one day in seven, know that they have stolen the Sabbath of Yahweh and have chosen to meet on a day of their own desire. Joel 2 and 1, I've read this before, but I want to repeat that and move on. Joel 2:1, "Blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of Yahweh is coming, for it is at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and thick darkness, like the morning clouds spread over the mountains. A people come, great and strong, the like of whom has never been, nor will there ever be any such after them, even for many successive generations." Following that is the description of this enemy, this army of Yahweh that resembles grasshoppers. But people have thought perhaps it means a real army with helicopters and all that kind of stuff. I don't know. But moving down to Joel 2 and verse 9, we read, "They run to and fro in the city. They run on the wall. They climb into the houses. They enter at the windows like" what? "Like a thief. The earth quakes before them, the heavens tremble, the sun and moon grow dark, and the stars diminish their brightness. Yahweh gives voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for strong is the one who executes his word. For the day of Yahweh is great and very terrible. Who can endure it?" And finally, let's read out of Matthew in chapter 24, beginning at verse 29. Matthew 24 and 29 begins, "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened." Now, Matthew in the New Testament is speaking of the day of Yahweh, written of many times in the book, in the Old Testament, in the Tanakh. "Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. The stars will fall from heaven and the powers of the heaven will be shaken. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in heaven, and then all tribes of the earth will mourn. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect, those whom Yahshua has chosen." "And they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to the other." Verse 32. "Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near, at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all of these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Verse 36. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, but my Father only. This is Yahshua speaking. But as the days of Noah were, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered the ark, and did not know until the flood came and took them all away, so also will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for you do not know what hour your master is coming. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would come, he would have watched and not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. Now, this is beautiful. In the last verse, Yahshua reveals when he is returning. At an hour you do not expect. He's speaking to you who have little understanding of the ways of Yahweh, who reject his word, who reject his law, who reject his Sabbaths, and who reject his feast days. He is speaking to you who reject his love. And so I say to you, come to the truth. Read the scripture for what it says, not what anyone tells you what it says. Romans 3:4 says, let Yahweh be true and every man a liar. Do not believe me. Believe what Yahweh has written down. Open the door to Yahshua. In the book of Revelation, chapter 3 and verse 18, Yahshua says to you, I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire, that you may be rich, and white garments, that you may be clothed, that the shame of your nakedness may not be revealed, and anoint your eyes with eye salve, that you may see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in to him and dine with him, and he with me. To him who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne, as I also overcame and sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the assemblies. Hallelujah.